We began this morning looking at some principles for proper practice or proper living. And Paul, in his letter to the believers at Corinth, penned these words. God used Paul to pen these words. Verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Again, we considered three principles this morning that we must consider as we consider proper practice or proper living. We looked at the principle of expediency. We considered the principle of enslavement. And we considered the principle of example. We're going to continue this evening looking at some of these principles that help us determine whether something's right or wrong, good or bad, helpful or hurtful. And there are times that maybe the Bible doesn't spell some things out in black and white, but God gives us principles to help us understand those things and the best practice to follow when it comes to participation in those things. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us understand these thoughts tonight, and then we'll move on with the service. Father, thank you so much again for the privilege you've given us to be able to meet at this time. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the principles we find in your word that help us understand things that may not be spelled out clearly in black and white, but certainly there's principles that govern the participation or lack thereof. I pray tonight you might use us as you see fit for your honor and for your glory. Lord, help us to understand these things this evening. We'll be very grateful for all that it is that you do, for we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Again, as we considered those three principles this morning, we resume and pick that up again this evening. And the fourth principle that I think we need to understand, and by the way, we'll be going over to chapter 10, and we'll be there the biggest part of the evening tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Again, the Word of God tells us in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 10, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." We consider, fourthly this evening, the principle of edification. The principle of edification. Again, the word edify means to build up. That's what the word means. Everything a believer does, everything a believer says, everything a believer listens to or hears is either building up or tearing down. It's either building up or destroying. And every conversation, every relationship, every activity must be judged by the same principle. Does this thing make me stronger in the Lord? Does it build me up in the Lord, or does it weaken my walk with the Lord? Again, as we considered this morning, not everything is sinful, but not everything is helpful. The Bible tells us to lay aside every weight. Those are things that are not sinful things, but those are things that are not helpful things. We're to lay aside those weights, and again, every conversation, every relationship, every activity, again, must be judged by this principle. Does this particular thing, though it may not be sinful, and though it may not be spelled out clearly in black and white in the Word of God, does this make me stronger in the Lord, or does it weaken my walk with the Lord? Do the things we're doing make us stronger for Him? That's something we must consider. I've been asked on occasion over the years, is it right for me to do this or do that? And I often say to that individual, what's the scripture have to say about it? What's the word of God have to say about it? Sometimes those things that I'm questioning about, the Bible's not clear on it. And then I'll usually run through a list, and I'm going to give you another list in just a moment, of things to consider when we come to questionable things. But certainly we must understand, and certainly we must do all that we do in the framework of this principle of edification. Does it make me stronger, or does it weaken my walk with the Lord. A second or a fifth principle we consider this evening is the principle of exaltation. Go down, if you would, to verse number 31. The Word of God says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Understand this evening, everything we do in life will honor or dishonor the Lord. It'll either honor the Lord or dishonor the Lord. A few years ago, there was someone that came up with a slogan. I wasn't real fond of it. This slogan on what would Jesus do? And the reason I was not fond of it is, first of all, it's very flippant. And secondly, that's all it was to many people that wanted to run around spouting that slogan. It was only a slogan. It meant nothing more. Somebody made a lot of money with bracelets and necklaces and T-shirts and various other things with that slogan on them. What would Jesus do? Well, really, that's not the question we should be asking. The question we should be asking ourselves is, what would I do if Jesus was with me? What would I do if Jesus was with me? Now, understand this evening, as a believer, He is with us. He's always with us. The Bible tells us again in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." As a believer, the Lord or the Spirit of God is with us. And so as we think about this principle of exaltation, we ask ourselves the question, would I do this if I knew Jesus was with me? Not so much what would Jesus do. Jesus is always going to do the right thing. That's another reason that little slogan was not appropriate, because Jesus always will do the right thing. He's the sinless Son of God. We're not sinless. The question we ought to think about and consider in a serious way is, would I do whatever it is that I'm having to make a choice about if I knew Jesus was with me? Several years ago, Miss Ina gave me a little cartoon. I still have it on my desk. The little boy and the pastor's outside knocking on the door, and the little boy comes to the door and says, "Hey, wait a minute, Mom's got to clear some things off the table and out of the refrigerator." And Mom's in there frantically removing things that she would be embarrassed if the pastor saw. Understand, the pastor is nobody. You understand that? The Lord's everything. And if we'd be embarrassed if the pastor saw it, how much more embarrassed should we see or be if the Lord sees it? Because the Lord does see it. And we must remember as Christians, everything we do reflects back on God. And that reflection can either be a positive or it can be a negative. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." We should do right regardless. You know, sometimes, we start this at a young age. We behave in the presence of authority. Now, the problem with that is so many today have disregarded any authority, and they've minimized the authority, and in many people's mind, they're their own authority. But for the most part, when we pass a police officer, we look at our speedometer. Most of the time, we take a foot off the accelerator, and if there's questions in our mind that we're real close to that area of getting a ticket will most often tap our brake. Why do we do that? Not because we're wanting to be safe. We do that because we don't want to get a ticket. And we are in the presence of an authority. The truth of the matter is, for believers, we're always in the presence of authority. Now, we've considered this evening, we're moving quickly, Miss Jody. Her prayers are being answered. We've considered the spirit of edification. We've considered the spirit of exaltation. But let me give you another principle here, and that's the principle of evangelism. Notice, if you would, in verse 32 of chapter 10, give none offense. We touched on that a little bit this morning, of example. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, Paul didn't want to turn everyone off with the gospel by his lifestyle. As I said this morning, repeat this evening, people are watching a believer's every move. Every move. They're listening to every word. That's why our words ought to be right words, not wrong words. People are watching. And the question I would ask this evening is, does my life, does your life move people toward God, or does it drive people from God? I don't get the wrong idea that we've got to compromise to be people pleasers. That's not what I'm talking about at all. Our priority is to please God, not man. But we should not live in such a way that people would say there's somebody that talks a good game but walks a bad game. Our lifestyle does matter. Now let me set the record straight this evening. I do not believe in lifestyle evangelism. There are some folks that have this idea, well, I'll just live a good life and everybody will want to come to know the Lord. I don't believe that. The Bible talks about hearing the truth. I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism, but know for certain that if our lifestyle doesn't match our message will go unheard and sadly unheeded. Are we living the right testimony for the Lord? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, we read these words, "You are our epistles, our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Don't think for one moment people are not making assumptions on your behalf, for they are. And if you at any time let someone know you're a believer and that you're concerned about their spiritual state and condition, you mark it down. They're watching every move you make, listening to every word you say, watching every activity you involve yourself in. You say, well, that's just not fair. That's the way life is. Whether we like it or whether we don't, people are watching. And they're basing their opinion of God upon those who claim to know God. We are a living testimony, and we are read of all men. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalms 23 that He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't really matter what people refer to us as, other than the fact that if we know the Lord and we have the right testimony. But God leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. not ours, not our reputation. We should never have a goal of somebody patting us on the back saying, wow, you're a great Christian. The truth of the matter is, there's none good, no, not one. Our goal should be for folks to see God and say he's a good God. To see the Lord Jesus Christ and say he's a great Savior. We are a living testimony. I said a moment ago, I'm going to give you just a few things here that I think are vitally important when it comes to knowing how to decide questionable things. Certainly these six principles we should consider before making any decision. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 21. I want to read just a verse here, and then we're going to look at some additional verses. Understand this evening, and I said a moment ago, and I said this morning, not everything is spelled out with letters and words. Not everything. You say, well, how come? Well, the answer is found here in John chapter 21, verse 25. Understand this evening, the Bible is a condensed book. It's certainly not everything that God knows, but it's everything God wants us to know. God knows everything. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 21 and verse number 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, and which if they should be written everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So understand, not everything's going to be spelled out with letters and words. However, God's word gives us principles, again, that govern our practice in our life. Now, I want to give you just a few things here, and I'm going to speak these things quickly, so write fast. When it comes to making a right decision regarding questionable things. By the way, if it's a questionable thing, I would stay clear from it. There's a reason it's questionable. I'm going to give you several things here, and I'll move through this quickly. But first of all, when it comes to the matter of deciding or making a decision, a right decision regarding questionable things, first of all, are you willing to do right once you know God's will? Are you willing to do right once you know God's will? You know, there's some folks, they've got a question in their mind about something, and all of a sudden they find a principle in God's word regarding that thing, but they still are determined to do whatever it is they had a question about. Are we willing to do right once we know God's will? The Bible tells us in John 7, verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Once we're settled on the fact this is God's will, are we willing to make the right choice? Secondly, does it agree with all the Scripture has to say on the subject? We touched on that somewhat this morning when we talked about the principle of expediency. It's a two-part principle. Is it lawful first and foremost? If it's against the law, then we certainly don't do it. If it's against the Word of God, we certainly do not do it. And then the second part is expedient. But does whatever this questionable thing is, does it agree with all the Scripture has to say on the subject? A reference verse you might write down in regards to this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The Word of God says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, you can't make it say what you want it to say. That's how cults get started. I don't care what you think about this. You say, well, be careful, you're going over the airways. I don't really care about that either. Women preachers There is no such thing. The scripture is very clear on that. I have heard some people that's tried to interpret it in some way to justify that stance and position. The Bible is very clear on that subject. Does that which we're considering, that questionable thing, does it agree with all the scripture has to say on the subject? A good rule to follow is never use an obscure passage to contradict clear passage. Don't use some obscure passage to try to justify that contradicts the clear scripture or the clear teaching of God's word. Let me give you a third thing. This is so simple, but so often neglected when it comes to the matter of questionable things and how to make the right decision. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? There's no more you can do after you pray, but there's nothing more you can do until you pray. Have you prayed about it? Often I'm asked questions, is it all right for me to do, or is it all right for a family member to be involved in this? Have you prayed about it? You say, well, I don't know if it's that simple. Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 8, we read these words, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. When it comes to the matter of questionable things, whether we should do or not do, we understand the six principles we considered this morning, but also, have we prayed about it? Another thought that certainly guides us and helps us with the matter of questionable things is, do you have the leading of the Holy Spirit in regards to whatever it is? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, we read these words, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, it's called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Mahanaim, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It was a clear leading of the Spirit. And when it comes to the matter of questionable things and the decision we make in regards to those things, do we have the leading of the Holy Spirit? So often we neglect the simple things, do we not? So often we search the scripture at times to justify something that's questionable. And again, I would say if it's questionable, I would steer from it. Number five, does it please God? That ought to be an obvious answer. That ought to be an obvious consideration. Does it please God? 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatever it is, that questionable thing that we're struggling with a decision on what to do with it or how to handle it or how to be involved with it. A simple question to ask, does it please God? Does it please God? When there's no commandment to obey, then the question we must ask, is it pleasing to God? Another thought we must consider, when it comes to the matter of questionable things and the choices we make in regards to those things, is, can I do it in Jesus' name? The Word of God tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Notice again those words very carefully. Whatsoever you do in word or deed. The words we speak, the actions we display. Word or deed. You see, when the believer is faced with a matter, and that believer cannot decide whether it's right or wrong, we should simply ask ourselves, can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Another thought to consider when it comes to the matter of questionable things is, can I give God thanks for it? I don't think anybody can give God thanks for a hangover. Hello? You say, well, I'm trying to reach the drunks in the bar. I don't think we can give God thanks for a hangover. I mean, God gives you a brain, use it. Amen? Some folks don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. And anybody thank God for a hangover is crazy. Can we give God thanks for it? Again, the verse we read just a moment ago in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Is whatever that questionable thing that we're struggling with on what to do or how to respond, is it something that we can give thanks to God for? And if we can't sincerely give thanks to God for the matter in question, then it's best not to do it. Another thing we should ask ourselves when it comes to the matter of questionable things is, that does it bring glory to God? We've already touched on that. Again, as we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, when it comes to the matter of questionable things, it may not be spelled with letters or words. It's important we ask ourselves the question, will this bring glory to God or dishonor? Here's another thought. And again, we don't base our behavior and our activity solely upon this, but it's something serious to consider. Does it offend other Christians? Does it offend other Christians? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Is it going to help or hurt somebody? I'm not saying you can't do it in your home. But is it going to offend other Christians? That's a question we've got to consider when it comes to questionable things. A tenth question we should ask ourselves is this: am I fully persuaded that it's right? Now, the premise we began these questions with was in regards to questionable things. And if it's a questionable thing, then there's question in our mind and we're not fully persuaded that it's right. The Bible tells us again in Romans 14, verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That word persuaded in this verse is a very simple word. It simply means to be convinced. Are we fully persuaded? Are we convinced that this issue is right? The Bible tells us in Romans 14, verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Are we convinced? Are we fully persuaded? Whatever the questionable matter might be, is right. Now the answer to that, if it's a questionable thing, certainly we're not fully persuaded. If we're not fully persuaded, then that's something we ought to steer clear of until God gives us direction and insight. The Holy Spirit leads one way or the other. Are we fully persuaded that it's right or wrong? Now those are 10 questions that certainly we ought to consider when it comes to the matter of questionable things. As I close this evening, we've considered 6 principles that certainly serve as directors or guides in our life. Paul said, I've got the liberty to do what I want to do. Again, he said there, all things are lawful for me. Not everything's expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. He said they'd never be brought under the control. Go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, if you and I will take these 6 principles, these 10 questions, and live our lives by them, not trying to take some obscure verse to build for us a platform to stand upon, we take these 6 principles and consider these 10 questions and live our lives accordingly. Most of the time, a majority of the time, we'll make the right choices. We'll be a blessing to the Lord's work, and we'll be a help to those in this world. My wife and I was eating this afternoon. There's a fella. You'd have thought I'd known him all my life. He come up to me and said, where'd you preach at today? It's the first question he asked me. He didn't ask my name. Didn't tell me his name. He come up to me and said, where'd you preach at today? I told him, Temple Baptist Church. He said, I'm a Baptist. I said, well, that's good. I'm trying to sit down to eat. My food's getting cold. He continued to talk and continued to talk. And he had a Washington Nationals hat on. He said, you like baseball? I said, I like baseball. He said, you know how much I paid for this hat? I said, I have no clue. I didn't really care. He said, 97 cents. I said, you got a deal. He said, I really did. He said, it's a $25 hat, and I got it for 97 cents. I said, that's wonderful. I go to sit down, and here he comes to my table. He continues the conversation. He first wasn't very nice to the staff working there. The guy didn't hear him correctly or wasn't paying well enough attention, at least to satisfy and suit this fella. And he said to the man on the other side of the register, come on, man! Pay attention! I'm thinking, oh, brother. Please don't tell him you just left church. He was a nice guy. He just one of them old school gruff fellas fought in Vietnam. Said, I lost my wife. He said, I miss her so bad. She had dementia before she died. She didn't even know me. And he said, I'm not supposed to be driving myself. He said, I got no feeling in my feet. He goes out and gets in a van. I'm thinking, let me get out of this parking lot before he takes off. Because he won't feel the gas nor the brake. But he summed it all up this way. He said, I like to help people. said, the good Lord's left me here for a reason. I said, He left you here to help people. And you see, as we live our lives according to these principles, and we ask ourselves these 10 questions in regards to questionable things, we'll be a blessing in the Lord's work and be a help to those in this world. We should live our lives in such a way that one day we'll hear our Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not so that we can brag or boast, but because we did all that we could the right way for our Savior. Let's bow our heads.